ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. श्रीरामकृष्ण एव्रि नव अंड देन ब्रेक्स इंटू ए ब्यूटिफुल सांग अंड ऑल्सो समटाइम्स ही डांसेस कंप्लीटली forgetting himself, forgetting the whole world, and that inspires the devotees who are attending the talks. And whenever we read the gospel, it is not reading, it is participating, and time and space do not count here. We are transported, as it were, or if you wish, Sri Ramakrishna was transported into the present moment when we enjoy, and whatever he is speaking is absolutely addressed to me alone. That is the bhavana with which we have to read any scripture. Whenever we read Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, we will have to think God himself or a great Rishi himself is addressing it towards us and towards each one of us, because simple truth is, even if there are a billion people listening, but only those who are interested, they will be absorbing it, not otherwise. So this is a great spiritual practice. We have seen in our last class, with which we ended, Sri Ramakrishna suddenly broke into a beautiful song. And we have to remember, Sri Ramakrishna doesn't think that I have to sing this song. Something from within inspires him, and he becomes one with the singing. Like Bhagavata, Bhakta and Bhagavan, when Sri Ramakrishna sings, he sees the Divine Mother, he sees the Bhagavata people, Bhaktas, and he himself is the one of the Bhaktas. And Bhagavata is coming like it came from the mouth of Shukadeva. And in this context, we have to understand, Bhagavatam is not only the teachings that go by that name. Any realized soul, after realization, it is only God who speaks. Bhagavan's words are called Bhagavatam. So, whether it is Sri Ramakrishna or anybody, that is why M had very aptly titled it Sri Sri Ramakrishna Kathamritam. He could have easily said Sri Sri Ramakrishna Bhagavatam. As I mentioned, one childhood obtained the blessings of Sri Ramakrishna in the form of a sweet, also became a pandit when he grew up, and he wrote a beautiful book called Sri Ramakrishna Bhagavatam. So everything that comes is from the mouth of Sri Ramakrishna is Bhagavatam only. And M himself has said, on the very first visit, that what I heard so far, is only for a few minutes, he felt as if Shukadeva himself is speaking of the glories of Bhagavan to Raja Parikshit, who was in the dire condition, who was cursed to die within 7 days. What a great blessing. Parikshit died. Died to what? After hearing the Bhagavatam, anybody who is absorbed in Bhagavan and dies means he has attained mukti or liberation. So even if some people's death, physical death, happens to take place, let us say after reading the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, he will, if he is truly absorbed by the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, he might get mukti also. We don't know. Unless, of course, the person cherishes some lingering desires. So, Sri Ramakrishna broke into this beautiful song in Bengali. It's called Doob 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 Roop Shagore Amar Mon Talatal Patal Khujule Pabi Re Prem Ratnadhar. I want to dive a little bit into the meaning of this particular song. Dive deep, O mind, dive deep in the ocean of God's beauty. O mind, a sadhaka is addressing. So you have to go deep. How many times? Not once, not twice, but as many times as possible, and dive deep into what? Into the ocean of God's beauty. God's beauty beautifully described. There is a verse which says, there are some few definitions of God. Sat Chit Ananda is one. That Sat becomes Satyam. That Jnanam, it also becomes Shivam. And there is a word Sundaram. Sundaram means Anandam. Whatever we love appears in our eyes as very beautiful. In the eyes of a, what we call a mother crow, the young one of the crow, is the most beautiful creature in the whole world. That's why parents are ready to give up their lives, whether it is birds or animals. This is something so marvelous, even to contemplate. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Matra Rupina Samsthita. So only when we are able to meditate on the Ananda aspect, which is also called beauty aspect, then only we will be able to dive. Until that Ananda comes, we will be trying to find out some other object and try to remember that gave me so much of happiness, etc. And it is God's beauty is not some perishing, ephemeral, vanishing beauty. It is an ocean of God's beauty. And just as in, if we approach the ocean, we see how many waves. What are these waves? Waves of bliss. Because God can be enjoyed in infinite ways. Infinite can be enjoyed in infinite ways. And if you descend to the uttermost depths, and then as we go on contemplating on the saundarya, beauty of God, and this God will not vanish, and this beauty will never vanish, this Ananda will never vanish, and therefore there is no fear of losing it. If anyone can descend, and as we go on descending, our joy will increase, our bhakti will increase. So Sri Ramakrishna is singing, absorbed in ecstasy. If somebody reaches to the very depth, that is called parabhakti, supreme devotion. And Swami Vivekananda, in his book on, talks on bhakti yoga. There are two separate sets of talks Swami Vivekananda had given. Bhakti yoga is one. Talks on bhakti yoga is another one. At two different places. But the essence is the same. But in the end he says, that parabhakti, supreme devotion, and supreme knowledge are one and the same. We can also add supreme karma yoga, supreme bhakti yoga, supreme raja yoga, supreme jnana yoga. That means when a person attains to the very peak of knowledge or yoga or devotion or loving service to God, then there is no difference. He becomes one with God. And there you will find the gem of love. What is love? Another word for love is complete unity. And the song continues. Go seek, O mind. Go seek. Do not stop. Do not get disheartened if for some reason you are not getting what you want. Then if you go on seeking, what do you see? What do you get? You will see Vrindavana in your own heart. You don't real Vrindavana is in our own hearts. Whenever anybody like a gopi can think of Sri Krishna, then that place, that heart becomes Vrindavana. If you remember, there was a South Indian, Alvar, a woman, only woman, who is the highest devotee of God among 12. They are called Alvars. And interestingly, that word Alu, Alu means depth. It is the same. One who has gone to the very bottom of this divine love. So whoever has reached that one has been titled as Alvar. And there are 12 of such Alvars. Even though there are millions and millions of devotees, but only 12 are mentioned there. and of them this Goda, a woman called Goda, her father Vishnuchitta was also an alvar, and he got this small baby in a garden. Like Sita was found in the ploughing of a field, burrow of the field. So that is why Sita is called Bhumija, because nobody knows who has put her there. Nobody knows who was Goda's, this one. And she developed tremendous devotion only because of past samskaras, like Mirabai, like Radharani, and also like Sri Ramakrishna meets an old woman in Vrindavan, and she was considered by Sri Ramakrishna as an alvar. He said she is the incarnation of Radha Gopi. So even today they are there. What about Gopalerma? Is she not a Gopi? What about Holy Mother? Is she not Radharani? We have to think all these people. Only Gopis were there in the time of the incarnation of Sri Krishna. Even today, everyone who loves God is a Gopi. Gopi means a loving heart. That's all. So when a devotee goes on deeper and deeper, he will find Vrindavana. That is called Gokula. That is also called Vishnuloka, Vaikuntha, Kailasa, Deviloka, Paradise, Kingdom of Heaven. All these means the same thing. And what happens in this Vrindavan, where with his loving devotees, Sri Krishna sports eternally. Eternal Krishna cannot be eternal unless there are also devotees who don't want to become one with him, because that is called Leela. And when we close our eyes and then focus in the Vrindavana of our heart, we must also visualize all the scenes that had taken place in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. I will come to the topic, because it is a most loving topic. And all the devotees who were all the direct disciples first, not to speak of Holy Mother, they were all living in Sri Ramakrishna Loka. Many of his householder devotees were also living outside. They were carrying on their normal duties. But inside, they are nothing but pure devotees. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to sing and dance with his devotees, especially at Dakshineswar, where with his loving devotees, Sri Krishna sports eternally, because a devotee never wants, since God is eternal, and these devotees also live in eternity, and they want to sport with God for eternity. That is so beautifully described by this author, who must have been a great devotee. Light up, O mind, light up, true wisdom's shining lamp, and let it burn with steady flame, unceasingly within your heart. What is this wisdom shining lamp? That is, in which, in the light of which, one can behold Jyotira Jyoti Ujjvala Hridikandara Tumi Tama Bhanjanahar. And if the devotee looks inquiringly into the where from, what is the source of this light, says it is coming from his beloved. So let it burn with steady flame, just as in the presence of light, we can never lose sight. Some clever fellow may retort, wise taker. He may say, suppose I close my eyes. Yes, you closed your eyes. Will there be light then? So we are all like people who have already become experts in closing our eyes to the reality. We are being rushed to our deaths, and yet we are thinking we are very safe, like the fish, fourth type of fish, which goes deeper into the mud, but within the net, and then thinking, oh, there is no net, we are safe in our own mud, and then burrows deep into it. No. So there is a person called Kubir, not to be mistaken with Kabir. Kabir Das was one of the greatest Jnani saints. But here is a Kubir who must have been a devotee saint. So, go on looking at your beloved, who is the very shining lamp in your own heart. And then this Kubir says, who is it that steers your boat across the solid earth? It is your guru, says Kubir. Meditate on his holy feet. Great Guru Bhakta must have been this Kubir. He says, who is it that can steer a boat? Where? Normally boats are plowed or made to travel only on waters. But here he says, solid earth. That means even in this thick forest of ignorance, if anybody surrenders himself to a Sadguru, he will take one to the Sat, the source of everything. So, only Guru can steer your boat across the solid earth means even this cross, this impossible net of Maya, and into whose presence? Vaikuntha, where we see the Divine Lord all the time with unblinking eyes. And we have to imagine not that there are millions of other devotees and I am one of them. No, only you are there. This is beautifully illustrated in the Rasalila dance on the banks of the Yamuna. The gopis, they could not see anybody. Turn to the right, Krishna. Turn to the left, Krishna. But look in front of you, Krishna. They were all in a circle. Wherever you look, above, below, front, back, left, right, everywhere there is nothing but Krishna. Consciousness has overwhelmed me and I became unconscious. Peculiar mystical language. Ramakrishna was describing the very first experience of consciousness after he took up the worship of the Divine Mother. Ma, ma, his mouth started only doing this one. But he was thinking only about God, no one else. Ramakrishna continues, it is also true that after the vision of God, the devotee desires to witness his leela. That is, Ramakrishna is describing the condition of a Jivan Mukta. In Vedanta, we get a Jivan Mukta. First, he realized Aham Brahmasmi. Afterwards, by God's will, he may be kept in this world as a teacher to awaken the souls of the ripened souls. But at the same time, not only they never have this ahankara that I am a teacher, I have been kept here for teaching. No. Sri Ramakrishna can be taken as an example. He never said, I am preaching. I don't know anything. My mother knows everything. I only know how to eat and drink. That means I enjoy. But here is one that is called Leela Aswadana. So he participates in the Divine Leela. Everything in the Divine Leela. Once Sri Ramakrishna was given jalebi by his devotees, he was eating and like a child, and another child entered into the room. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna covered that jalebi vessel, pushed it behind his back so that this child will not see, and looking fearfully if this new child is going to discover, because if the child sees, his drishti, his vision will be unwaveringly concentrated on that only. That is one type of leela. But the other type of leela, but here what we need to understand is, the devotees who are witnessing this leela, they must have been enjoying that leela. Here is a person, so-called God-realized soul, and he is eating and enjoying thoroughly. How much Ramakrishna enjoys, whatever he enjoys? Can you guess? Can you imagine? Because each one of us can only imagine according to our own experiences. Only a person who enjoyed it thoroughly can really identify Sri Ramakrishna. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling, this is also a leela of God. And if you ask Sri Ramakrishna, why did you suffer? At the end, hardly any even semi-liquid suji halwa used to go, only with great pain. And if you ask him, First he will pretend, oh, I am suffering so much, don't you see? But then, on other occasions, he will say, this is also the Leela of my Divine Mother. And Leela means what? One just as we enjoy a cinema or a drama, he will be also enjoying that one. So this is another aspect of Leela. That means Sukha, Dukha, the characteristics of a Stita Prajna have been so beautifully brought out at the end of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in response to the question put by Arjuna. Bhagavan Krishna was describing vividly. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmani eva atmana tushta stita prajna tada uchyati dukkheshu anudvigna mana sukheshu vigata spruha vita raga bhay krodha stita dhihi muniruchyate. So, sukhar dukkha. What is the important point I wanted to highlight here? So, when a stita prajna is so-called going through misery or suffering. Is it suffering? Remember, when Hari Maharaj came, Sri Ramakrishna wanted to test him. Look how much I am suffering. Hari Maharaj immediately said, at that time he was studying. He was deeply merged in the study of Vedantic, Advaita Vedantic scriptures. I have to tell you, Vedanta means, most often we mean Advaita Vedanta. So, sometimes he even stopped visiting Sri Ramakrishna also. So, Sri Ramakrishna wanted to test him. See how much I am suffering. And Hari Maharaj said, no sir, I see you are swimming in an ocean of bliss. And Sri Ramakrishna burst out into joyful laughter and said, this rascal had found me out. For people like us, it is very difficult to understand. Is it true, really, that even the body is suffering, does the mind suffer? This is what we need to understand. Does the mind suffer? No, as if somebody's mind is suffering. Then Ramana Maharshi's hand had developed a carbuncle. He was operated by some of his close doctor devotees without anesthesia. And it was very, very painful for an ordinary person like us. But Bhagavan went on looking as if somebody else's hand was being operated. There was no reaction at all. So you go on, just as I am looking at you, I am looking at this body also. That means he was ever living in that state he himself used to call it. And this is a new word that I had learned. Sahaja Samadhi. It is a natural Samadhi. That means it has no break. And that is the condition of anybody who is called a Jivan Mukta. If you remember, Swami Vivekananda came across a sadhu, an old man, who was being pelted with stones by children who never understood him. And blood was coming out. And he went on laughing. Then in reply to Swamiji, he said, thus place the father. So, do the Jivan Muktas really suffer? No. A Jivan Mukta is one who becomes a participant in the Leela. So their suffering, from our point of view, we cannot imagine that their suffering is only a pretense, an act, like a drama. No. But from their point of view, there, when we are watching two people fighting in a cinema, good or evil, and first only good people will be thrashed. Many times they are killed also. And that is what history teaches us. Good people are apt to suffer more than evil people. If we have any iota of intelligence, read history, is nothing but murder of billions and billions and billions and billions of people by a few wicked people. Even today it is going on in every way. But as soon as we get our dal roti, we don't think anything. So we are ready. The world is fine. I am also fine. I am fine. So the world is also fine. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling, the devotee desires to witness his Leela. And then Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. We don't know where from he heard it, because there are so many versions of Ramayana. After the destruction of Ravana, at Rama's hands, Nikasha, Ravana's mother, began to run away for fear of her life. Lakshmana said to Rama, "Revered brother, please explain this strange thing to me. This Nikasha is an old woman who has suffered a great deal from the loss of her many sons. In fact, every son had been killed, excepting one, who was Vibhishana, we have to imagine. And yet she is so afraid of losing her own life that she is taking to her heels." Rama bade her come near, gave her assurance of safety, and asked her why she was running away. Nikasha answered, "O Rama, I am able to witness all this leela of yours because I am still alive. I want to live longer so that I may see the many more things you will do on this earth. All love. Now what I would like to point out in this, even in this so-called innocent recollection by Sri Ramakrishna, this Nikasha, we don't know what was Ravana's mother's real name, but this Nikasha must have been old. Then what does she say when Rama asked, I am able to witness all this leela of yours? So that means she knew who Rama was. She knew that this killing, this battle, everything is the leela. Now, stop for a second, ask yourself, what is the meaning of leela? Is the leela real or looks like real but not real? A beautifully taken movie may look so realistic. Realistic and real are two separate words. It looks so realistic that we actually feel either happiness or sadness. We also can shed tears at the sufferings of people, like Sri Ramakrishna when he was hearing the story of Satya Harishchandra. Every day the devotees started weeping because the narrator, called Kathak, the storyteller. There are so varieties of storytellers. Some people, when they tell, it is dry as dust. And some people, that they explain, so they have the divine capacity to make their audience feel what is the description. Sometimes even they may not feel, but the audience will feel. So, like that, this Nikasha, who could say, "O Rama, I know you are an avatara. I know this is all your leela. And if it is leela, that I am the mother of Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, is it also real or is it also part of the leela? So, is their death, is it leela? Yayenam vetihantaram, eschenam manyatehatam, ubhau tauna vijanito, nayam hanti nahanyate. So that is the leela. We see the action, we enjoy the action, but we know it is not real. That is called leela. And when we understand that way, we are also participator in that leela. But if we are affected by it, some people cannot see sad dramas, what is called tragic. They all want to see these two people, hero and heroine, they got married and ever afterwards they are happy. This illusion, they want to keep it. That is why after marriage, usually what happens in the old time cinema, they won't show. Shubham, they say, we wish you all the best. So Nikasha's answer contains the highest Vedantic description of a Jivan Mukta. I am able to witness all this leela of yours because I am still alive. I want to live longer so that I may see the many more things you will do on this earth. There was an incident. Sri Ramakrishna was at Kamarpakur. He was only 5 or 6 years old. There was a great Vaishnava devotee. He was a bangle seller. He was called Srinivasa. And one day, the Srinivasa took Gadai, his Ishtadevata, to his home, worshipped him like his Ishtadevata, and bowing down to him said, "O Gadai, this body will not last long. I feel it coming to an end. But I can guess that how many leelas you are going to perform." How did this Srinivasa know about it? He must have been, first of all, a great sadhaka. Secondly, he must have witnessed, he must have had visions of Gadai. Remember, Ramakrishna had the vision of Gaya Vishnu. Chandramani Devi had the vision of Shiva in the form of light. Even when Sri Ramakrishna was in the womb of Chandramani Devi, how many divine visions she had. And just imagine, we just read that information and pass on to the next page without feeling anything. If you had a dream that you are seeing Holy Mother or Swamiji or Sri Ramakrishna or your guru in your dream and you are speaking or sitting near him, how much joy you will get. Not to speak of, for that joy lasts for many days, provided you are a real devotee. You have real devotion to the guru. Then how much Chandramani Devi must have enjoyed these visions of various gods and goddesses. Why were they visiting? Because they know our divine Lord Narayana, Vishnu, is here in the womb of this lady. So there is a song, Kali Rudare Brahmanda Bhando Prakandata Jano Kemon Devadi Dev Mahadev Jene Chayan Kali Rumormo. Only Shiva knows. So like that, if the whole universe is in the womb of Bhagavan Krishna and Yashodasa, the whole universe after, not one universe, universe after universe, when she asked Krishna to open Krishna's mouth to examine whether he had eaten mud, and she saw universe within universe within universe within universe, like when you are in a hall of mirrors, you will see unending stretch of mirrors and your own reflections. Brahmanda within Brahmanda. And really speaking, everything is a Brahmanda. Supposing an ant has given birth to a baby ant. That baby ant is living where? It is living in its own baby ant's world. It has its own happiness, its own joy. So the mother is looking after. You see, there also Matrubhava is there. If anybody tries to harm their babies, all the ants together, they will come and attack the enemy, wasps or other ants, etc. We have to understand that that is the condition that we have to understand of every creature. So we are all, how many Brahmandas are there? Universe. Brahmanda means universe. We are all cherishing, each one of us cherishing one Brahmanda, because of our mind is the Brahmanda, the entire world. That means our knowledge of the world is within our minds. This is good, that is not good, this is sweet, that is bitter, this is attractive, this is not attractive, this is joy, this is suffering. The whole universe is within our own mind. That is why the more we study the phenomena of dream, the nearer we will be to the truth. Only upon waking up, we don't connect. What we saw in the dream world is nothing but what we are living in the upon waking up. It is exactly the same phenomena. No difference at all. So, this is also a dream. Don't even say it is a bigger dream, smaller dream. It is exactly another state. You should not compare two states saying that is bigger, this is smaller. That is of short duration and this is longer duration. If you still remember our Mandukya Karika classes, this was one of the objections raised. What is the difference between dream world and waking world? The opponent says, well, dream world lasts only for a flash of a second, whereas this waking world loss forever. Once this conversation was going on in the presence of Ramana Maharshi, and he clarified the point. My dear sir, he didn't say that, I'm adding that when you are in the dream state, do you feel that this is a dream state? This only loss for 1 second, but when I go to the waking state, that will last for a long time, just as we feel that we are going to live for many, many years and go on counting our birthday until the time comes for us to become unconscious after death. So also in the dream world also, with the idea that this is any less and waking state. In fact, in dream state, we don't call it a dream. We call it complete waking state. But when we come back to waking state, oh, that was all my imagination. Do we sit for a second and pause and ponder and say, is perhaps this is also my own imagination? Because we don't know the truth. What is the truth? Here is a person who is my arch enemy and I would like to cut him or her to pieces. Then, is that the truth? Yes, yes. I experienced it so many times. He or she is the most evil person on earth. But you just go deep into it. You are talking about pranamaya, annamaya kosha. Go to that person's pranamaya kosha, that person's manomaya kosha, that person's vijnanamaya kosha, that person's anandamaya kosha. Then you understand that no, like me, this person also is wants to dwell as long as possible in this state of anandamaya kosha. And since a person wakes up to the truth that even anandamaya kosha doesn't last for a long time, so also this person understands beyond this panchakoshas, there is something uncreated, eternal, infinite, one without a second, and that is the real nature of me. The moment I understand, I am one without a second, I am forced to admit that everything in this universe is also one without a second. But we are talking about, Sri Ramakrishna is explaining beautifully that Nikasha must have been a realized soul to recognize Rama as an avatara and the death of all her sons as part of the Leela. So, I want to live longer so that I may see the many more things. You, the incarnation as Rama, will accomplish on this earth. Everybody laughed, all the devotees present. But do you think they all understood? Because just you listen, Tattvamasi, how much you understand? Aham Brahmasmi, how much do we understand? But as we go on, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, slowly, true understanding, bit by bit, infinitesimally, smaller bits coming into our minds. So much meaning is there. This is how we have to squeeze every sentence of Sri Ramakrishna, every word that came out of Sri Ramakrishna's mouth, and for that matter, any Jivan Mukta's mouth, so any avatara's mouth, any Rishi Muni's mouth, we have to ponder. That pondering deeply and enjoying them, what can we enjoy? Only that which is real. Nobody enjoys something fake. And every day, we are trying to fall into that trap of enjoyment of the fakeness. Somebody dresses beautifully, drives beautiful car, and puts on lot of lipstick, and nowadays, beauty parlors are there. They come out of that beauty parlor. You just look at them. So, you go near them. And you will see, the nearer we approach to them, we see the defects more and more clearly. The stench, the bad smell. I've seen so many people, they want to come near to me and whisper. But such unbelievably intolerable stench comes out from their mouth. Sometimes I cannot tolerate it. So the nearer we approach, we see the defects. And 1 millisecond is sufficient to shatter this all our illusions. So we have to develop. But at the same time, if we know how to see in and through, beyond all that we see, through the anatma, non-atman, we can see the atman. And then we can see that the reality is the same consciousness is wriggling, even like a small worm, as Ramakrishna says. So let us enjoy. Maybe some of you might be thinking, so slowly this gospel class is going on. What is the use? So Sri Ramakrishna squeezed the entire essence of the Gita into one word. You repeat that word Gita fast and it becomes tagi. Similarly, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is like what Swami Vivekananda described to one Robert Ingersoll, an atheist, affirmed atheist, that I have an orange and I can squeeze it as many times as I want, because it is not the worldly orange, it is the divine orange. So it is rasa swadana. Now Sri Ramakrishna's attention had turned to Shivanath. I like to see you. How can I live unless I see pure-souled devotees? I feel as if they had been my friends in a former incarnation. Ramakrishna's mind, after singing this song, was filled with tremendous, indescribable joy. And when a person is joyous, then in his eyes, everybody looks joyous only. Now what is important here, that this same Shivanath, Ramakrishna loved him because God loves everybody. But Shivanath later on withdrew from Sri Ramakrishna, passed on negative remarks like, he was very spiritual in the beginning. Now we had fallen from that high state. God alone knows what he means like that. And Sri Ramakrishna sharply rebuked also towards the end that you people think of worldly things and you are very conscious of. But I who think nothing else excepting God, who is the very embodiment of consciousness, and I am suffering from fits, states of unconsciousness like that. What type of intelligence is that? So Sri Ramakrishna himself says, you don't have that intelligence. Anyway, Shivanath we have to salute, because he was so fortunate to see Sri Ramakrishna, to witness Sri Ramakrishna, and to be addressed by Sri Ramakrishna, and saying that, how can I live unless pure soul devotees like you? So many times he had seen. So we have to accept. This is also part of the Leela only. Now a Brahma devotee is asking, sir, do you believe in the incarnation of the soul? Reincarnation of the soul. This is what is called Karma Siddhanta, Punarjanma Siddhanta. We are all born because of the result, to reap the result, to experience the results of what we have done in our past lives. Not only one life, because there is a understanding. The effects of this life are not necessarily only the results of just the last, very last birth. It could be 5,000 years before. But depending upon what type of experiences we can have, so it could be some karma phala from 5,000 years back, some other karma phala from 2,000 years back, some other karma phala from the last birth can also be combined. Only God knows how he combines. The idea is, in one life, some of the results have to be exhausted. And even in this life, we are creating further actions, further results. And if we can somehow start moving towards God, then we will also reach God. And Sri Ramakrishna didn't want to say outright, I know, because it was Sri Ramakrishna only who said, he who was Rama, he who was Krishna, he who was Buddha, Jesus, etc., is now in this life reborn as Ramakrishna. If he could say that, why not this also? Exactly the same answer was given by Bhagavan Krishna in the beginning of the fourth chapter. Arjuna asks a question and says, O Arjuna, the same question was asked by Manu to me 10,000 years ago. Arjuna was shocked. So, this question was asked, what does this statement prove? That there are not many new questions. The same questions will pop up again and again. So I am telling you, Arjuna was said, how could you speak to Manu who was 10,000 years back, you who are born along with me at this time. So then he says, I have had many births and I remember them all. You also had many births and you will remember them. You don't remember them. That's all. Not only that, in the Gita itself, Bhagavan says, even if somebody goes to heaven, Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti, one has to come down to this earth to continue the sadhana, and this will continue punarjanma until one becomes completely united with God. So kshine punye, also we have to understand, when a person, if a person happens to go to naraka, that is also not a permanent state. As soon as he paid the karma phala, that person has to immediately be given another chance. Another chance. How many chances? Infinite chances will be given, because each soul is potentially divine. Nobody can stop the progress of this potential divinity's evolution until one reaches one's own home. So, the master is evading this question as it is. As they say, there is something like that. How can we understand the ways of God? Through our small intellects. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean by small intellects? That means people of little faith. As Jesus Christ rebukes ye of little faith. How many? His own direct disciples, especially Peter, had betrayed him 3 times and denied seeing Jesus Christ. And Sri Ramakrishna says, many people have spoken about reincarnation, therefore I cannot disbelieve it. Categorically, Sri Ramakrishna was not saying, but that is because he was talking perhaps to a devotee who doesn't have faith in it, but just put the question anyway. So even if I tell there is, this person will have, it will have no effect upon this person's mind. So even a teaching will not have an effect until the other person is ready to not only listen, but to think over it and accept it and transform the life. So let us not think we all believe Sri Ramakrishna. Really, no. How do we say? Because only when we start transforming our life earnestly, then only we can say we are devotees of Sri Ramakrishna. Until then, it is only intellectual satisfaction, a little bit of external rituals like puja, japa, everything is going on. But really speaking, only we have to judge by the amount of transformation that takes place in our life. Now, another episode has come. Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. He had what is called completed the answer to that Brahmo devotee's question, whether man, we have past lives, which implies whether we have future lives also. As Bhishma lay dying on his bed of arrows, the Pandava brothers and Krishna stood around him, and these Pandavas saw tears flowing from the eyes of Bhishma, the great hero. Arjuna said to Krishna, "Friend, how surprising it is, even such a man as our grandsire Bhishma, truthful, self-restrained, supremely wise, and one of the 8 Vasus, weeps through Maya at the hour of death." So Arjuna was living in his own world. So he interpreted Bhishma's tears only in his own way, as he understood. What was he thinking? For all his wisdom, for all his valor, Bhishma is no better than any ordinary person. And Arjuna also clarifies one of the 8 Vasus. And when death approaches, like anybody who is in ignorance, so he is weeping through Maya at the hour of death. Sri Krishna asked Bhishma about it. Now Sri Krishna wants to give the answer through Bhishma. Bhishma replied, "O Krishna, you know very well that this is not the cause of my grief. I am thinking that there is no end to the Pandava sufferings, though God himself is their protector, charioteer. A thought like this makes me feel that I have understood nothing of the ways of God, and so I weep." This is the answer Sri Ramakrishna has given. Then what does Sri Ramakrishna want to convey to us? Because like Bhagavad Gita, he says even billions can hear the Gita, but without my grace, nobody understands me. Avajananti mam mudha manushin tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama avyayam anuttamam daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarandite. So for us, what is important to understand, this maya, which is binding us, and we don't understand it is Maya. We are using the word Maya, and we are also understanding Maya through Maya only, and we don't understand anything about Maya. Very interesting. Sanskrit word Maya is reversed. Ya, ma. Ya means which, ma means that doesn't exist. So we are talking about Maya, which never existed. Like this world, it is called Mithya. So what is important for us is that do not try to fathom, to understand avatar, much less avatar. Even we cannot understand our own mother, our own father, our own wife, our own husband, our own selves. When I am not able to understand my own self, I require some help from the psychiatrist or psychologist what to speak of people. So, did Bhishma understand? There are some beautiful thoughts about this subject, which we will talk about in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.